What is up, everyone? Welcome back to another special episode of the Fantasy Fellows Show. We're here today with special guest Jesse. We're going to be covering the NFL draft. It's in 2 nights. Jesse, what's going on, man?
Hey, we're excited. Draft season's always fun. Kick off to the summer, basically, and get it from Detroit. Detroit Motor City this year. Got to have some Motor City pizza when you're watching the draft this week.
We literally just bought some of those stupid things from Costco. But anyways, what we're going to do in this video, we're going to hang out for the next hour or so. I'm going to pull up the PFF mock draft simulator. And we just want to walk through kind of each pick and tell you guys, like, you know, this makes sense for this team to do this. We're going to look at their depth charts. We'll kind of just identify some things and kind of open up to some ideas that each team's kind of thinking through. Maybe we do some trades in this. I don't know. I didn't show you the cover of the thumbnail, did I?
Nope.
It's JJ McCarthy on the cover, nice and big, with like 16 logos next to him. And that's kind of the thing, is who takes JJ McCarthy in this, who falls in love with him and wants to move up. The rumor today was that Minnesota doesn't need to do that. You know, they like Bo Nix, whatever. So it's lying. It's officially the witch hunt rumors are flying around. So I like it, but let's hop into a screen share. And Jesse, being local to the Chicago Bears team, I think we'll have you kind of talk about the first pick. But the settings real quick, I'm just going to do 3 rounds here. We'll kind of go as many as we can in the hour. I don't really mess with these toggles. If you're simulating, you can mess with them. But for us, it doesn't really matter. We're going to be making all the picks. I'll hit all and we'll just hit enter the draft. And this Caleb Williams, this pick has been made for whatever. How excited, like, should Bears fans be for Caleb Williams?
Yeah, the biggest question about number one overall is how long and how much clock do they use? Are they going to spend the whole time talking to him, or are they just going to run the pick in? I think, you know, at this point, you know, there's a lot of, like, well, Caleb doesn't want to be in Chicago. Oh, the Bears have a bad history of drafting quarterback. Let's just keep Fields. He's good enough. But I think you're getting a special player in Caleb Williams. Chicago should be excited. I mean, obviously, they've built this team around him from a skill player perspective. So really, I think, you know, looking at this from the fantasy lens, what we want to see here is we want to see Caleb Williams and we want to see O-line. I mean, we want to see just protect him with everything you can. You gave him Keenan. He's got DJ Moore. He's got Cole Kmet. Maybe one more kind of speed guy later in the draft. But, yeah, I mean, just surround him. The defense is solid. So, I mean, this is a team where if Caleb kind of shows up in year one, I mean, there's a lot of questions. I know a lot of analysts, some of the big ones out there, have kind of said that they maybe expect him to struggle year one. They think maybe Jaden's a better year one guy. If you're looking from like a redraft perspective or for dynasty purposes, you got to just, you know, roll with him, especially if you're in a super flex and just expect greatness. It might be year two, might be year three, but, you know, they built a team around him to succeed. So,
and to me, just when I watch, and my draft process is, I did a huge data study this year, which was really fun to learn things. But when I watch, I usually watch the highlights first, and then I pick out like their worst game, their best game, and a couple other games in between. And the only real knock on Caleb Williams is that he tries to do too much. And that you can see that with this last year, this last college season. You know, he's taking a lot of time back there, moving around, trying to make magic plays happen. So maybe he's not able to do that at the next level right away his rookie year, but that's what people are excited about. It's that Mahomes ability to make plays when the play kind of breaks down. So we'll talk more about the Bears at pick number 9, but we'll just run this pick in. Caleb Williams, welcome to Chicago. And then number 2, man. I was telling you guys earlier today that when I filled out my mock draft last night, Jaden Daniels was minus like 160 to go number 2. He's now minus 400 on DraftKings. So, like, do we have any thoughts here on who this should be? You mentioned Jaden Daniels maybe being the fantasy quarterback that we want right away this year for a redraft perspective. Is there any chance this is Drake May, or are we feeling good about Jaden Daniels here?
Yeah, and you know what? Washington, give them credit, they've really kept this pick kind of under wraps. You know, I don't know if this steam all of a sudden is just kind of like out of nowhere, if it's nothing, if it's something. You know, you don't know anything at this time of the year. So really, I think at the end of the day, it's like, who do you think is the next best quarterback after Caleb Williams? Jaden maybe a bit more NFL ready. Drake May maybe better long-term NFL tools. Athleticism is exciting. Big body quarterback. It's really whatever you think Washington is kind of gearing up for.
So Cliff Kingsbury is there, air raid offense kind of thing. He had success with Kyler Murray. Jaden Daniels and Kyler Murray kind of have a similar playing style. But then, you know, I watched Drake May, and you squint a little bit and you see him on the run and do some Mahomes things. He's a little more reckless in that way. But I think both guys can fit that air raid style offense. But, man, I don't know. All the signs are pointing to Jaden Daniels here. And really, like, the last, like, 2-3 weeks, everybody's been, like, microscope over Drake May, picking and prodding and all these things. I wouldn't be surprised if it's May, but I think it's Jaden Daniels, man. And, like, you talked about the athleticism. The dude put up in my data study, he put up the best college season going back all the way to 2020. That's better than Joe Burrow's LSU season. He averaged 39 fantasy points per game last year with that rushing upside. So
yep.
he's got weapons here. That's what we like for fantasy. He's got Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson. They have, you know, Austin Eckler, who I think could still be a nice, especially for a rookie quarterback, man. That's going to help him quite a bit. So we're gonna go with Jaden Daniels here.
Yeah, I think so. I think it makes sense.
And do the Patriots at all? I mean, you can see I can do trades here. The Chargers trying to trade up with. I don't know if that makes sense. Do the Giants try to trade up for Drake May? The Broncos. You know, there's a lot of scenarios here that could be exciting. I think ultimately the Patriots stay pat and they do take Drake May. Do you have any other thoughts on what they do at 3?
Yeah, I think, I think if anyone's geared up to potentially trade up, I think maybe the Vikings, they have the capital. The Broncos, for me, it's just like, I think that Sean Payton wants to, but like when you look at what they have pick-wise and like availability, it doesn't seem like that plausible. I mean, they'd have to give up so much of their future, and it just doesn't make sense. I think they're going to hope, Bo or JJ falls to them.
They have like 12 and pick 76. They can't, they'd have to sell next year's first at least.
Yeah, at least. I mean, way more than that, probably. You know, I mean, just thinking about, you know, knowing that the quarterback's there at 3, knowing that the Patriots need a quarterback at 3. Like, it just, you know, like people try to complicate something. And at the end of the day, like, Drake May is still a great pick here. JJ McCarthy, also a great pick here. You can't go wrong with either one. And it's probably Drake May just based on the pure upside. Makes me think it's Drake May.
And I mean, his odds changed too last night. He was originally like -145 to go there. And I think now he's -300 for pick 3. So whether it's the Patriots or a team moving up, I think I feel pretty good about saying Drake May is going to be the 3rd overall pick in this draft. So let's go ahead and move that. And then the fun kind of begins at number 4. I still think the Cardinals are taking Marvin Harrison Jr. I have a feeling that this pick has been made a long time ago, and they've talked and they've probably listened to the Giants. They probably listened to the Vikings, the Broncos, about moving up for JJ McCarthy. But I don't see how it makes sense for the Cardinals to trade down and potentially risk losing out on Marvin and not even like maybe even losing out on Malik Nabers too. You know, I think that's a huge risk. So to me, it's Marvin. Do you have any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it's their biggest need. It's giving Kyler Murray a true wide receiver 1. We know the defense has issues, obviously, but that's not going to get addressed by one trade back. And I think the upside of giving that offense a true number 1 makes a lot of sense. This is just an elite wide receiver.
And they do have that late first too. I think it's 27th overall.
Yeah, so they still, I mean, they have a good amount of draft capital
already
in this draft. So why are you don't necessarily need to get more draft capital out of it when there is a, like, bona fide, you know, star receiver just sitting there waiting for them to take. It's kind of like the Patriots, you know. They need a quarterback. If they got a guy they like, if they believe he's there, you just take him. You stay put.
And, I mean, there's probably only a handful of receivers that we can say are this talented coming out, you know, maybe Ja'Marr Chase. You got to go back to like Julio Jones, AJ Green. Like these guys are really freaking good. And it's going to make Kyler Murray a better player. It's going to make the entire Arizona offense better. And they don't have anybody at receiver right now. Anyways, they have Michael Wilson. They got Greg Dortch, number 2. Like this pick is Marvin Harrison. If they did trade out, I think they're immediately trying to trade back up with the Chargers if that is the scenario. And I have mocked some things like that, so keep that in mind. That could happen. The Chargers have been one of the hot teams, you know, rumored to want to trade out, but we're going to go Marvin Harrison to the Cardinals. And now I just want to look at the analysis of this pick because there's so many scenarios here. Malik Nabers at 35.6% here for PFF. No Marvin Harrison left. I don't think they're taking Joe Alt, man. I mean, if we look at their depth chart real quick.
How much the question for me is like, how much influence does Jim Harbaugh have on this pick? That's a big question for me. Because if he does have a lot of influence, I feel like Joe Alt could be the pick, yes. Because I think his camp is like, his mindset is a Joe Alt. It's a Joe Alt pick. But if, you know, he's not the GM at the end of the day. Like,
but then you're moving him to right tackle over who I think Trey Pipkins, he's not an elite right tackle prospect, but he's probably an average to above average right tackle.
They need guards more than they need tackles. Correct. So it's like, you're not, you know, like you're not going to take a guard at this pick.
They've got two number one picks on the left side here.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with Corey Linsley there. I know he's been injured a lot. I think they're probably going to plug in stuff on the right side and maybe the center later on in the draft. And that's going to be a huge focus for them. But I cannot understand how you get rid of Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Austin Eckler and expect to be good on offense. Like, I just, you know.
Plus, I mean, these are prime Justin Herbert years that you're wasting if you don't give him some weapons. I think we're going to title this mock Occam's Razor at the end of it. It's like the easiest solution is often the right one, you know. There's two top receivers. Malik Nabers is a gift. Could be the wide receiver one in almost any other year. I mean, you have two really, truly special guys.
Just in my data study, the year that Malik Nabers had, a lot of it was tied to Jayden Daniels and, you know, who made who. I think they both helped each other a lot. But Nabers' season last year was one of the best receiver seasons in college football in the last 5 years. And he's your starting slot receiver. He's plug and play. He's probably a 100-catch receiver right away, honestly, for Herbert. So it's wishful thinking, but I also think it's like the most logical freaking thing for them to do.
Yeah.
If they do trade out though, like, you know, they're handing the Giants a loaded gun at pick six with JJ McCarthy. Do they do that? We'll talk about that in a second here, but man, you know, the Vikings can easily send 11 and 23 and the Chargers can send five. It says a 38% chance to be accepted. The Chargers, and I don't know if the Chargers have to add on something to that. It goes up when I add like pick 105 to greater odds. So I don't know. I don't know what the draft capital value would be for the Vikings to move up, but it's significant.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, at this point, you know, do you think the Giants are taking JJ McCarthy? You know, if you're the Vikings at this point, you look ahead of you and you see like who's there, you know, who's taking a quarterback. I mean, if you're the Titans, I mean, if I'm the Titans GM, I consider it, but like they sound like they're giving Will Levis the shot.
Yeah.
The Jets certainly could probably use a contingency plan, but they're going to go all in on Rodgers. Probably will cripple their franchise, but. Yeah, I just feel like I think JJ is going to be the real gift to wherever he falls because I think he has the potential to be the number two quarterback in this class. And I just don't know who does it. You know, and like I said, I think the Vikings probably the most equipped to do it. But I just, at the end of the day, the Chargers, you're giving them Nabers, you're giving Herbert his elite weapon, you know, for the prime of his career. I mean, for fantasy purposes, you know, it's a home run pick.
I think it's also the combination of not only it's a glaring need, but it's probably best player available on the draft board at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sweet spot. It's need and BPA. I think it just makes too much sense.
So let's go ahead and lock it in. Malik Nabers, the Chargers. And just, so he's been being drafted like around pick 30 in best balls right now. I have a feeling that like when after the draft lobbies open up, he's probably in the second round.
If he goes to the Chargers and he's got Herbert, like he is a second rounder.
Yeah, I don't think he moves if he's a giant, but man, if he's the Chargers, we're probably locking him into like 100. Like he's gonna probably compete with Puka Nacua's rookie setting season last year.
I mean, he's gonna save Herbert's fantasy value. Just like, I mean, the thing about Kyler is Kyler can do it without a receiver, but the fact that he's gonna get Harrison is only gonna help him. And I mean, Harrison and Abers are going into home run spots. I mean, it's just so good for fantasy. You're beefing up two top eight fantasy quarterbacks. You're landing dynasty wide receivers in perfect spots. It's a dream. Let's just make it happen, please.
So do we have more fantasy fun here? And look at this. Romo Dunze, 26.4% mocked to the Giants. Malik Nabers off the board. Drake May. Harrison off the board. Is this Romo Dunze here at six? Is it J.J. McCarthy?
I had a thought. I mean, I think they probably go grab their wide receiver here. But what if the Bears just moved up three spots to get Joe Alt to just protect Caleb Williams?
Yeah, I haven't thought of that one at all.
I mean, I don't think it's a high probability of happening, but I just, in my mind, I was thinking like, who could use Joe Alt the most? Yeah, I mean, it's probably the Bears. I just don't know if they – I know they have a lot of value tied up in 1 and 9, but from like, to go from, like, 9 to 6?
I think the issue is they don't have a lot of draft picks.
Yeah, after the first two, I think they don't have their second rounder.
So I would say they're more likely to trade back than up, right?
Yeah.
But it's – absolutely. They probably have to make a call or two just to see what it costs.
I mean, he seems like he's the surefire, like, best tackle in this class, right? Like, I mean, I haven't seen a whole lot of other questions. I mean, I think everyone's kind of just been giving the, you know, Alt to the Titans in most of these mocks. I mean, I don't think the Giants, obviously. It's not a position for them to need it. It's more of like who.
So I don't know much about Andrew Thomas. It seems like he's kind of like wearing patient. Like his patience is wearing thin there. This could easily be Joe Alt here too. Like, look at this ragtag offensive line here that they tried patching together in free agency. I think the center's fine, but literally every other spot here is up for grabs. I mean, John Runyon's probably the right guard. Illuminor, whatever. This could easily, you know, if this is best player available, it's probably Joe Alt here. If they're trying to force it, it's probably Romo Dunze.
Giants don't feel great right now watching Harrison and Nabers go.
I think it's Joe Alt, man.
Yeah, so unless someone comes up to get this pick. And at this point, it's like if you're the Vikings, you just like, do you see the need to like trade up and get a quarterback right now? Like,
there's not a lot of buyers here. They have the Broncos who can't move up. And the Raiders don't really have the ability to move up either. They only have, I think, pick 44.
Yeah.
And if I roll on down here, I'm just looking around. The Giants don't have a second-round pick. They gave it to they gave it to the Panthers for Brian Burns.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I mean, I'm sure they could use it. I just don't know who's, you know, like, is it enough?
Are they sell? Like, I think the Giants are sellers now that I look at that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a team for me that needs more talent than just one player.
The Bears are trying to move up right here.
There it is.
So what's it cost? Number 9 and second next year maybe to move up? They got 2 seconds next year. The Cardinals or the Panthers and their own.
That seems kind of fun, man.
And they don't burn 75 or 122. They just get Caleb Williams and Joe Alt and call it a day.
I mean, it's like Burrow, Chase, you know, they tie each other to each other. You get Caleb, you get his cornerstone left tackle. You got Keenan, you got DJ.
Let's look at the
I don't hate it.
Let's just take a peek here at the Bears depth chart.
Left because the Giants could probably they're probably looking at this board thinking, we can get Rome at 9.
You can get Rome at 9. You can maybe get the best defensive player available. You could also
trade back again.
Yeah. Let's just do it, man. This is fun. I think we're in the correct thinking that Joe Alt's the pick here.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna offer the trade. It's accepted.
Boom. They would run that in, I feel like.
There you go. Joe Alt protecting Caleb Williams.
And the Titans are pissed. Like, when they jump the Titans, you know?
Titans are frustrated. Now they hold the rights to J.J. McCarthy. Do we have the Vikings don't want to move up yet.
Yeah, they're probably looking at this board thinking, we don't have to. The
Jets do at 10.
Interesting.
So the Jets trying to get Odunze and just say, like, the Jets are kind of screwed, man. They're in this all-in kind of mode right now.
Yeah, they really are.
Does Odunze help them?
I mean, Garrett Wilson, Odunze, who is Corey Davis still the wide receiver two in town? Like,
oh no, I don't know.
Who the heck is there?
Let's take a peek.
Is he even there?
Garrett Wilson, Mike Dubb,
Xavier. Oh, they got Mike Dubb. Jesus.
You're putting Odunze in there and probably moving Garrett Wilson to the slot at that point, which is pretty sexy.
I mean, Garrett Wilson in the slot would be nice. I mean, is Mike Williams and Odunze two similar players? Oh, wow.
No.
Is Odunze more of a
well-rounded
guy?
Yeah, he's a little more finesse. I mean, they're calling him Larry Fitzgerald, if that puts a picture. I don't think he's Larry Fitzgerald, but nobody's Larry Fitzgerald. But he can do more. Maybe Odunze rotates in the slot, too. If I look at his numbers, slot snaps, 104 last year. Primarily an outside guy, but you're giving that offense the best chance to succeed. They did patch the offensive line, bringing in Tyron Smith, so you get 8 games out of Tyron Smith. You got John Simpson at left guard from Baltimore, and they brought in Morgan Moses, who I like a lot. So to me, there's like a little bit of weakness on the left side of the line where, again – what's the over-under on Tyron Smith games played this year? It's probably like 7.5, 8.5, something like that. Yeah,
pretty much.
So I have seen them look around at left tackle, left guard. There's a guy that fits kind of the needs there. Otherwise, let's just take a peek at the Titans and see if we can find something for them. Because, I really like what they're doing. Like, I get it. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to give this kid, Will Levis, everything – that he can to succeed. And if it fails, you know you tried. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, two great pass-catching running backs, and they're kind of interchangeable. DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley. We'll see about Treylon Burks, if he can become anything. But this offensive line, you got Radins at right tackle. Not sure about Nicholas Petit-Frere here on the left side. Skaronski's great on the left guard spot. Don't know anything about this guy, right guard. Lloyd Cushenberry, the center. You know, what do you do here, man?
Yeah, this becomes they didn't get Joe Alt, who is being mocked to them in 90% of drafts, I imagine. It's like, what does the pick say? Who's clicked the analysis tab once?
So did the Giants move back up for Odunze? What's it cost? Pick 9?
That's a group.
Or 7? And you probably offer up
like 107, 70,
47, and no, you send 70, 87% chance to be accepted.
Yeah, I probably send.
Can we have them send another? There we go. We just upped the odds. So Titans send 182. All right, Giants get Romo Odunze at 7. That's just good business there. They picked up a second rounder next year, and it cost them pick 182, which is in the 5th or 6th round. Like, who cares? So Odunze at 7, we'll take it. And then this is where the draft gets a little interesting. The Falcons, we can pull up their depth chart in a second here. Everyone and their mom is giving them Dallas Turner.
Every single person.
Do we have to?
I haven't really seen anything else.
Do we have – well, let's just look at the, like, left outside linebacker. Arnold Ebeketidi, Lorenzo Carter, former Giant. Like, this is – like, look at this linebacking core. It's probably the worst that I've seen.
It's pretty tough.
So, I get it. Dallas Turner makes the most amount of sense here. Do we spend any time with this or just put it in?
Yeah, I mean, I like the UCLA kid. I just think Turner's probably better for the role there. So it's kind of
Turner's good, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think in a best world they maybe trade back and get their, you know, a guy, but I got this. It just
do the Vikings need to pop up for JJ McCarthy here just to fend off the Broncos? The Vikings. I mean,
every pick it gets closer to the Vikings, I'm sure the Broncos are like, maybe we have a chance to move up. Maybe we have a chance to move up.
Send Cortland Sutton, you know, Cortland Sutton and next year's first, whatever it takes, you know. Because I guess Cortland Sutton's unhappy with his contract situation.
So Cortland Sutton in 12?
This is a deal. So we're gonna have the Vikings move up here?
Hey, let's see if it makes sense here.
I don't think the Titans are taking Turner. I don't think the Jets are taking Turner. And I think the Falcons know that.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Does it cost the Vikings 23 to move up, though?
Probably. I mean,
this trade will not be accepted.
Yeah, value-wise, it's probably not. They probably got to send 43.
Well, let me remove 23.
Yeah, I mean, 108, I don't think it's getting it done, is it? They don't have their next year's second.
Yeah, this trade will likely be accepted. They get a fourth-round pick to move up three spots.
It seems light, but I don't know what maybe like a next year's fourth or fifth. Yeah, yeah.
All right, we're just going to do that. A boatload of picks here. The Vikings not accepted.
Wow. All
right, we'll remove that one. Oh, yeah. All right. JJ McCarthy, welcome to Minnesota.
Yep.
Skull, you are a Minnesota Viking.
And I think that, I mean, the fantasy lens on that is obviously JJ to JJ can be sweet magic for years to come, and we don't have to deal with Sam Darnold being a starting quarterback in the NFL.
I think JJ's really good.
I
think he's Brock Purdy plus.
Brock Purdy plus. Wow, that's
he can play bumper bowling like Brock Purdy does, and you're giving him freaking Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and then eventually TJ Hockenson will join the group. You got Aaron Jones to catch balls out of the backfield too.
It's a fun offense.
He's bumper bowling year one until TJ Hockenson gets there, and then that's where the fun begins. But it's also like, his athleticism was second best, I think, in this class behind Jaden Daniels. So he can do it. He just didn't need to do it. You know, you're up 21 points in the second quarter. JJ McCarthy does not need to run.
Right, exactly.
You know,
he had to throw so sparingly. And when he did, he was fantastic.
Wow. So, damn it. As a Packer fan, it sucks. But I actually really, really like JJ McCarthy. So the Titans on the board here at number 9. I don't know why PFF thinks their receivers their biggest need. That seems false.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd one.
But this one's weird, man. I don't know what the Titans, man. I don't know what you do here. Guard, tackle, edge, DB. You know, we can look and see if there's a team. The Packers are trying to move up. Holy shit. What does that do? 25 and 41 for pick number 9. This trade will likely be accepted. Interesting. We'll put a pin in that.
What are they trying to get though, you know?
A little Quinion Mitchell action maybe?
Byron Murphy maybe?
Ooh. That could be fun. Do we just have let's look at that Titans depth chart real quick. I think there's a little bit of steam this week with Byron Murphy being the first player off the board. I love Jeffrey Simmons, but Sebastian Joseph Day, TJ McClendon, I think he's pretty, or TK McClendon. There's a need here on the defensive side of the ball. You have Brian Callahan here, who's from the Bengals, who's an offensive-minded guy. I don't know much about this defensive coordinator, Denard Wilson, but Harold Landry, Arden Key on the edge, that seems fine.
Their secondary is pretty – I mean, they get the Sneed.
They got some good pieces here. Amani Hooker. Yeah. I don't know much about Elijah Molden, but I like the corners. This might be – we might be onto something here.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not Joe Alt.
We've been looking at mocks, and it's this last week we've seen Byron Murphy crash the top 10. And he's been one of my favorite players since the start of this thing.
Yeah, looking at that depth chart, it looks to me, I mean, they could probably use Latu as well. Like, I mean, either one of those picks makes sense.
Well, we don't have to give the Falcons Dallas Turner. We can give him to the Titans.
That's true.
It is a need here. I say let's do it.
Let's do it. I mean, if consensus best defensive player, I could probably argue UCLA boy, but I think Turner makes sense.
So just the thing, like these seasons are sick, dude. He's got the best profile. If you just ignore the neck injury, this is the best profile of an edge rusher in this class.
Yeah.
He was, do you know the story? Like, he was told not to play.
Oh, really?
He was told not to play. He got injured. I can't remember where he was before UCLA, but he got injured, and the doctors told him he should not play. But he ended up playing anyways. And there's been nothing wrong the last 2 years. Everything's been good. He just has to clear teams' medicals. That's really all that this is at this point. So I do think on paper and on tape, he is the best edge rusher.
Yeah. You think he could slide potentially just because of that?
That's been kind of the thought. I've seen him dip down to the late teens kind of thing. I think any team that gets, like, I've been kind of mocking him to the Broncos in that range sometimes. Either way, I think you're going to see Dallas Turner and Latu come off the board in the top 15. So if we're just trying to play hand grenades here and just be close, any edge rusher we give, like, the Titans need an edge rusher. Yeah. You know, when's the last time Arden Key's really been a mainstay?
Yeah.
Your Landry's pretty solid. And it's a premium pick. You can never go wrong taking an edge rusher.
Going edge. I mean, it's probably Turner. I mean, let's see. It's probably Turner.
Let's just go Dallas Turner here. And then the New York Jets here. They got pieces that they need. I think defensively, they're still one of the best teams. We've talked about their offensive line maybe needing to get something on this left side here, and I have a couple players in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Defensively, I don't know what – I mean, they got Javon Kinlaw, Hassan Reddick.
This team's I think defensively, that's a pretty scary looking – that's pretty scary. I mean, to me, this is O-line, or this is the flashy Brock Bowers spot. This is about the highest he's going to go in the draft.
We can do Brock Bowers. I think he is, if we look at analysis here, he's 35.4%.
Yeah, man.
Tyleese Fuaga is potentially their starting tackle. We can click on his numbers here. And I like Fuaga. He's primarily a right tackle, though. I think he can kick in and play other positions as well. And they just signed and bought a right tackle, though. So I don't know if that's what I'm looking for. But otherwise, you got Troy Fatanu here from Washington. He is a left tackle with some left guard experience, and they're kind of wondering. So Fatanu is a true athlete of an offensive lineman with starting caliber traits for center or guard. I think this is just in the last week or so, this is the name I've been coming up with for the Jets, because you can start him at left guard here when Tyron Smith does his thing. You got a left tackle.
Take him outside.
You can, and he can also compete with the center if they really, like, there's some versatility here with Troy Fatanu, and his elite pass blocking grade steps out. He's not really a good run blocker playing at Washington. All he had to do was pass protect. Mm-hmm. So I think protecting Aaron Rodgers is of the utmost importance for the Jets. It lasted four plays last year. So
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem with that pick. I have no problem with Brock Bowers just from a pure upside play.
If there was a team trying to trade up, it looks like it's the Seahawks. They're not going to trade out with the Panthers, but the Seahawks moving up to 16, are they looking for Latu?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you have to think the Falcons are probably upset that Turner went, but consolation.
I think we'll just get let's just lock the Jets in here.
Yeah.
Anu,
grab that tackle. That makes sense.
We're going on 35 minutes, so let's
speed round.
Rapid fire time. Falcons. We're gonna go Latu.
Yeah, are they a candidate for Byron Murphy here?
Turner, Latu, Quinion, Cooper DeJean. Let's take a peek here. Falcons.
I mean, I just know like.
So Zach Harrison, David Onyemata, Grady Jarrett. Grady. This is pretty ugly.
Yeah.
But Arnold Ebeketti.
Yeah, it's just getting Latu. it's just, the front seven needs addressing.
I like Latu quite a bit. Denver Broncos, man, they're not taking Bo Nix here. They want Bo Nix. They're not taking Bo Nix here.
No?
I would be shocked if they do. I don't want to see them be desperate. They really don't. Like their next pick, though, is 76. If there was a team to trade down, I think it's the Broncos, because where they need to get Bo Nix, it's probably end of the first. And I'm not sure how they get there.
Who's coming up? I mean,
you got the Jags, the Vikings.
That's weird.
What are the Jags coming up for? You know, they need guard, edge, DB. The Jags need a lot of defensive help right here. Their cornerbacks are Ronald Darby, Tyson Campbell, Darnell Savage at nickel, Andre Sisco, Antonio Johnson. This might be one of the worst secondaries in the league. So maybe they're bull rushing here for Quinion Mitchell.
Quinion or Tyrion.
We love their edge rushers, Trayvon and Josh Allen. That looks good.
Yeah.
Tyrion Arnold or Quinion Mitchell, I think, makes quite a bit of sense to me.
O-line probably too.
They could, but they have Anton Harrison, who they spent a first on last year. I don't know if Cam Robinson, if his patience is wearing thin there. They seem to be okay with Ezra Cleveland. They got Mitch Morse at center. Brandon Scherff was a big offseason signing a couple years ago. This is probably an area that they want to address, but probably not round one.
I mean, it'd probably be a corner. I just don't know that they will pull the trigger.
I just want to see what it costs. Is it 17 and 48? That's probably too expensive.
Yeah, probably 96.
Probably 96 and 12. This trade will likely be accepted. But then this gives the Broncos ammo to play ball and maybe move around. Or if we're the Broncos here, do you just take Bo Nix and say, like, we're fucked? we have to do this.
Yeah, it's obviously going to be really dependent on how high of a grade they put on him. This to me seems though like the year that they took Paxton Lynch.
Sure.
And they were kind of just, well, shit, we need a quarterback.
So what do you know about Bo Nix?
I mean, I know he's accurate. You know, he can, you know, high percentage completion guy. Doesn't throw a lot of picks.
He had the lowest ADOT I've ever seen, which Drew Brees comes to mind. When you watch the offense that they ran at Oregon, Bucky Irvin was a really good college back catching passes. You had Troy Franklin, which operated as a deep ball kind of guy. They had a couple other players there making plays for them. Bo Nix can run a pro-style offense out of shotgun. He hasn't really shown the ability to play under center. And just if you just think about what Sean Payton made his money on with Drew Brees, man. I'm worried that the Broncos, like, they literally have no draft capital.
Yeah.
To get Bo Nix besides this pick. Even if they trade out, they still have to make another move. Like, they have to play bingo to get there. Like, they can't really dilly-dally here. You also have the Raiders, who are in a pretty big need at QB. You know, if the Broncos just came away with Bo Nix at 12 and said, we'll see you at 76, I think they'd be okay with that. And Bo Nix is good. Like, he's good, man. He's the bumper bowler. If you put – he's Derek Carr.
Yeah, the problem is like, do the Broncos have an offense to play bumper bowling, or do they, you know?
You got Javonte Williams. You got Courtland Sutton, Marvin Mims. the ghost of Tim Patrick, Greg Dulcich is hanging out. Like,
it just feels,
dude, they got
Zach Wilson, man.
They got what? That is the most desperate sign of all time.
They traded for Zach Wilson.
We don't need a QB. We got Zach Wilson, guys. Like,
oh, God. It's so desperate. It just reeks.
Bo Nixon's just so far freaking down, dude. But, like, his PFF loved him. All of his numbers were amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's an analytics guru. The ADOT is a concern, but...
To me, he's Derek Carr plus. Which, if you get Derek Carr, you're happy for that five-year rookie contract, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I just think there's not a lot of other options for them unless someone brings them an offer to go get Brock Bowers, which I don't see
you're,
it.
You're hopping the Raiders?
Yeah.
The Saints?
I mean, I've heard, you know, there's the I think that Colts-Seahawks window for a tight end. Bengals.
I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
Bo Nix. Over 4.5 quarterbacks. I guess we're preaching here. So the Raiders, man. Like the Raiders, Michael Penix is still hanging out there. We're not going to do that here. We got a couple trade offers here. The Vikings trying to move up again. What the heck?
PFF analysis.
The Raiders have a lot of
many bodies
to address. Lately, I've been giving them Thayer Munford Jr., man.
What are we say doing that one.
Here? What are we doing?
Is this Oregon?
I think the Raiders Oregon are State. The tip of the offensive linemen.
Yeah. Fuaga makes sense. I think so, we don't spend much time here.
You got Tyleese Fuaga, a legit right tackle, dominant. He makes a lot of sense. You also have I don't think Fashanu makes sense for them. He's primarily a left tackle, and his grades weren't as great. But I think J.C. Latham makes a lot of sense. Alabama, the Raiders kind of just do these like, he's Alabama, yeah. You know?
Like,
yeah. Kind of just do that kind of stuff. And he's a really quality right tackle. But I think the move here is Fuaga, and just for the speed of the draft, we'll move on here. Now, the Saints also need a right tackle pretty badly. Have you heard of the Ryan Ramczyk situation?
I haven't heard that, but I have heard just through the grapevine that Saints are locked in on best tackle when it comes to third pick.
You got Penning, who's nice. Eric McCoy's nice. Ruiz is nice. I don't know anything about James Hurst, so left guard will be a need for them at some point. But Ramczyk hurt his knee, and the recovery's not going well. It kind of sounds like a David Bakhtiari situation where he's needing another surgery. And, you know, when you're that big and your knee's not good and, you know, he's been in the league for, 7 years now, it doesn't look great. And there's really good players available here for them. If they wanted to go deal defensive line, I think Byron Murphy is a sexy pick here. Byron Murphy should be off the board by now.
For sure.
You know, they're rolling out Nathan Shepard, Kellen Saunders, and Carl Granderson. Like, come on, guys. Like, Byron Murphy here makes a ton of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's either him or right tackle for me. The thing with Fashanu is he's primarily a left tackle. His analysis here, he's not only incredibly talented, but will also be one of the youngest prospects. So you got a really strong left tackle prospect here in Fashanu. I don't know if he fits what they're looking for. So to me, it's Murphy or Latham. If you want to flip a coin, who you got?
Yeah, I mean, if we're going BPA, it's probably Murphy. If we're going what we're hearing, it's probably Latham. It's probably a tackle. So.
And I just want to see the Saints. They have pick 45. There's going to be players like they're going to need a tackle at that point, but there will be tackles there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're saying Byron Murphy, we can't get a player of his caliber at 45, but we can get a really quality right tackle at that pick.
Yep.
So B. Murphy.
Done.
And I'm going to let you do this one. Let's just pull up the Colts depth chart here. You want to break it down on the offense or defense first?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are essentially they're looking at the Colts roster and they're like, oh, we need to get Anthony Richardson at weapons. We need to get him players. Yeah, we got, you know, we have the running backs. We got Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce, and Josh Downs. You know, what's that at our wide receiver two spot? But defensively, I think for a real football move, you know, you have to look at the secondary. I know you were talking about the Jags secondary. I mean, this secondary is just.
I like Kenny Moore.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny Moore is great. He played well. He has got good grades, but it's just not. They have nobody to stop wide receiver ones or wide receiver twos. I mean, they just got destroyed through the air. And I think this is where to point out we haven't seen a corner go off the board yet, and Kenyon Mitchell is like plug and play. I mean, he's a day one starter, shutdown guy, and he can kind of facilitate the rest of your defense. You make it easier, you know, shutting down one side of the ball or covering wide receiver one. I think from day one, seems like the pick to me. I mean, Brock Bowers is the fun pick. Brock Bowers gives Anthony Richardson a second top tier target, which I think opens things up probably for Josh Downs a little bit. I mean, Pierce is what he is. He's a, you know, deep threat receiver. But yeah, I mean, you look at the depth chart for the tight end. I mean, they're carrying.
They're good. They're good.
Yeah, they're carrying a ton. I mean, Jelani Woods was not healthy last year.
Granton's solid.
Yeah, year two, Jelani Woods, he's finally healthy. He's a big guy. Granson's going to have a couple games where he's going to have a two-touchdown game. Moelle Cox is a guy who knows the system. And I just don't – it just doesn't seem – it's just – you have so many bodies there that I think the cornerback spot just makes a lot more sense as like an instant get a premium guy in a premium position in need. So
my dad watches a lot of college sports. And just with him and my brother betting on all these shitty college games, he says he watched a handful of Toledo games, and Quinion Mitchell was like, he's just the best player on the field for both teams on every play. And he blew up. I think it was the Senior Bowl practices. He was shut down. Mm-hmm. It's very rare to get the top cornerback at 15th overall in a draft.
Yeah, definitely. And from a school, like, how often is the top corner like a Bama guy, a Georgia guy, a LSU guy? Like, it's very rare that's like a small school, Toledo, like holding the fort down. But I think he's just a good pick.
So we'll do Quinion Mitchell to the Colts. I've really struggled with the Seahawks here. I think offensively, we know they're not taking a receiver. They've dabbled at the offensive line. I like Charles Cross at left tackle. You got Abraham Lucas, who they like at right tackle. They could use some interior help here, but I don't know if that's what you want to spend pick 16 on.
Mm-hmm.
They're not taking Brock Bowers, I think. They could, but they just gave Noah Fant like $24 million for 2 years. Probably not what they want to do here. Defensively, Uchenna Nwosu, right outside linebacker. Boye Mafe, who I think is okay. I think the need at edge rusher is pretty great. I don't know any of these linebackers, by the way. Tariq Woolen, Devin Witherspoon. Don't know who Michael Jackson is.
Resurrected.
So maybe Terrion Arnold is the pick here, and they just have a freaking studded cornerback group. But to me, I've been kind of mocking them Jared Verse.
It makes sense. I mean, looking at that defense, it makes a lot of sense.
And you look here, Latu's been their number one pick, Batanu, Jared Verse at three, Dallas Turner. Three of the top four picks here, it's 43.5% edge rusher.
I'm good with Verse here.
We can look at trades here. The Eagles are trying to move up probably for Terrion Arnold because Quinion Mitchell just went off the board. Mm-hmm. And I mocked the Eagles trading up in my mock last night. What does it cost here? 22 and 53. That's probably too rich. They need to send 118 here, maybe 102. What do we think of that? Eagles trading up for Terrion Arnold here.
Yeah, I mean, they have probably one of the older secondary groups right now.
They were the worst in the league last year.
Yeah, that's crazy because they
were the best like a year ago. Yeah.
I mean, Slay, what happened? Bradbury, what happened?
The free agency addition, Avante Maddox is kind of whatever. There is kind of a drop-off from Terrion Arnold to the next group. You're looking at, like, Kool-Aid McKinstry. And, Cooper DeJean, they can be moving up for him, who's kind of like this hybrid safety slot kind of guy. With the teams above here, I could definitely see the Eagles, and they're always aggressive.
They are aggressive. They're not afraid. I mean, Howie, he's going to wheel and deal.
we still got A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. on the board. So, dude, did you know who the Eagles offensive coordinator is?
Eagles offensive coordinator.
It blew my mind today when I was working on my my 24 or 2024 projections document. Like, I'm ready to, like, as soon as I start seeing players drafted, I'm gonna start plugging it in. Who's their offensive coordinator this year? It was one of the quietest signings I've ever seen.
I don't know.
He was here last year.
Wow, interesting. Wait.
Kellen Moore.
They brought Kellen Moore in.
Yeah.
Huh.
He must have news that day.
He's kind of, I don't know, he's kind of pretty, like, teams get better when he goes. It's kind of a weird.
I think I'm willing to write the Chargers off as just like a weird year where everyone got hurt and the team just kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
So if you're the Eagles, I guess if you're the Seahawks here, is Jared Verse enough for you not to move back and pick up another second round pick?
Probably not. I think the trade makes sense.
So you like, should I submit this 22 and 53 for 16 and we'll call it,
I think 102.
102 goes up to 88, 118 says it'll likely go 74. So I guess we got to give him 102. Boom.
Send it.
So Terry and Arnold.
Yep. Push it.
And I just want to see trends. Eagles are third most likely to select them. So I like the fit. And now the Jags, man. Did we look at the Jags depth chart yet?
We did.
It is bad.
The secondary is.
Dude, are they taking Brian Thomas Jr. here?
I mean, they brought Gavin. I mean, Zay Jones can't stay on the field.
So I can
just feel like they have holes. Like, their team is just okay everywhere.
I don't trust them to make the correct pick. So it's like probably Graham Barton or something stupid. You know, but
if you could give them anybody, who are you giving them? I just look at that secondary and it's just like, makes me,
I think they're pretty upset that they didn't get Terry and Arnold here and they probably just collect Cooper DeJean. You know, like, look at this five group of players here. It's you put DeJean in there, he's going to be the best player at any position on the field.
Pretty much. I mean, it's like, yeah, 100%.
Let's just run in DeJean. I love Cooper DeJean. Packer fans, if you're watching this, like, we have no chance at getting him. He's quality.
Well, Bengals get their guy. I want it so bad. I just think he's going to go higher. Someone's going to buy into the craziness. But if he could fall to the Bengals, that'd be so sexy. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen.
What if he goes to the Miami Dolphins?
They'd have to trade up to get him.
The Broncos. Thinking they can move up from 76. Get real.
Yeah, right.
We're just going to do Brock Bowers here.
Sorry. Yeah. Let's just make the clicks.
The Rams, off the top of your head, this is like their first time they've made a first-round pick in like 3-4 years. It says they need a QB. They could take Penix here, but probably not. I've been giving them the best tackle available, whether it's Fashanu or Latham.
I think Newton does also make sense from a
So I think if there's a team to trade up for Byron Murphy, it's the Rams.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they need that Aaron Donald presence. It's pretty Bobby Brown.
Look at this linebacking core, though. What the hell is this?
I mean, look at that defense.
This is a defense pick.
Look at that defense.
The whole front seven is garbage.
I know two names on that defense.
I know Trey White, and I knew Cameron Curl.
Yeah. So it's got to be a defensive pick. It's got to be best. I mean, Newton makes sense. I mean, they lose.
Look at that. Byron Murphy, Latu. There's Newton at 13. Let's just go Newton here. Or can they trade out to get Newton later? The Seahawks trying to move back up for Jared Verse.
Oh, yeah.
So 22, and we'll give them 19. It's going to cost them probably pick 118.
Yeah, maybe 178. Yeah. Even 179 is probably good.
And we'll pitch them at 213. Booyah.
There you go.
So the Seahawks strike for Jared Verse.
Beautiful.
And now the Steelers, man, this is where I think, again, receiver.
They don't take first round receivers, but they could take one here.
They sent away Deontay, man.
Yeah.
I think this is also a very likely spot where they trade down to position themselves for the second round. They have pick 51, which is nice. The Buccaneers trying to move up. I don't know who for. A lot of teams want this pick, though. Whether it's the Bucs or the Cardinals, I think that's the 49ers trying to move up is interesting.
Is there a player? Who's the player here that people want?
Probably one of these tackles, Latham or Fashanu.
Yeah, these tackles are sliding. I mean, the Steelers, don't they have a kind of a more aging offensive line that makes sense to?
So they've kind of righted the ship over the last year or so, but it's a bunch of no names.
Yeah, I mean, Dan, it's my neighbor.
It's a bunch of no names. Let's take a peek here and see what the analysis says. Amarius Mims is a boss. I think Latham makes sense. DeJean's gone.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, you know, realistically, is Fashanu and Latham here at this pick? Is that why they have Mims going? Because, like, more or less, Fashanu and Latham are gone by now.
Let's go Fashanu. He should be off the board by now. Best offensive lineman available for Pittsburgh makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. They, you know.
And then the Dolphins, I do not have a good read on at all. They kind of lost some guys in free agency this year. Their offensive line does not look amazing.
We got two more years of Tyreek Hill.
Defensively, they're solid. They got Poyer, Kendall Fuller, Ramsey.
Yeah, they try to do the Eagles method and just like grab a bunch of stars, right?
They got good edge rushers, but they lost Christian Jones, man. So maybe this is the pick where Newton goes.
Yeah, this could be yeah.
What's his name? Christian what? Wilkins. Christian Wilkins.
Oh, we lost Wilkins. Yeah, yep.
Analysis actually likes Jerzon Newton. So I think they're looking at the trenches with this pick. You know, people trying to move up. It's the Packers, dude. I don't know what for. What are the Packers seeing here?
They're seeing Latham lingering.
He's a right tackle, though.
Yeah, see, he's not movable. They're happy with Tom.
Zach Tom was one of the best graded right tackles in all of football last year.
You like Tom? Is it left tackle more?
Packers, so I think Rashid Walker, like, I keep coming back to the last five games of the Packers season, they gave up two sacks and none of them in the playoffs. They had Aaron Jones rush for 100 yards in five straight games, in those same five games. Offensive line is not the biggest need. They need a right guard.
They're gelling.
I don't think they need to move up for a tackle. I could see it, though. Otherwise,
the board just doesn't strike me as, unless they're Ian Newton up, potentially, you know, beefy boy in the middle.
I don't think the Packers would be looking at Newton. He's not a player I think you trade up for.
I feel like Newton to the Dolphins just makes sense here.
Let's just do it.
Safe click.
And then, so we had the Rams trade back. They were trying to get Newton. They missed.
They just grabbed Latham here.
Tackle, DL, linebacker. It's either Latham or Mims. I don't care who. I'm just going to go Latham here. Quite the haul. The Vikings.
They're happy with that value. They moved up
for JJ, and they didn't have to send pick 23. Pretty good deal. Their depth chart. Offensive line is Darisaw and Brian O'Neill on the right tackle side. Don't really know much about Blake Brandel and Ed Ingram. So maybe a Graham Barton makes sense here, a guy you can plug in at either left or right guard.
Yep.
They probably were looking at Newton pretty hard here on the D tackle side. You can see they're making moves here, though.
I think defensively they're a little upset that like Verse is gone, Newton's gone. To me, I mean, I feel like their secondary is not bad. It's not great.
Nate Wiggins is a popular pick for them. and before the NFL draft combine, like, Wiggins was like a top 15 pick. He was like the first corner being picked. It's just his weight dropped him quite a bit. My head says it's Graham Barton just because they can plug him in at left or right guard.
Yeah.
You got McCarthy here.
I think that feels right. I don't think they're taking a shot on Mims.
All right. Tell me why the Cowboys shouldn't take A.D. Mitchell or Brian Thomas Jr. here.
Because it's fun. I mean, I think, you know, looking at the Cowboys offense, really what it was is it was CeeDee Lamb just absolutely balling. And, yeah, Ferguson just being a pretty good stud. Outside of that, Cooks had some weeks. Cooks also had some weeks where he just kind of completely disappeared off the map. And I just think he's at the point of his career now where, you know, he doesn't have the speed exactly that he had. He's not a reliable wide receiver too. So I really think that a receiver is a pretty good fit here. I mean, Jalen Tolbert, we've seen that. And they're just pretty good everywhere else. I mean, this is a pick that they can afford to kind of go all in.
And they did not have a good offseason yet. They did not make the splashes. I think it's A.D. Mitchell, man.
The Texas boy?
I think so.
You think so? I don't know. I don't know what the tea leaves are saying. I mean, my favorite receiver here is Brian Thomas. I know there's some injury issues now with the labrum. Is that a – I don't know if that's been resolved.
That to me surprised me. I that's the first I heard of it.
Kind of.
But I will say, like, in a vacuum, I think A.D. Mitchell is a more well-rounded, all-around potential talent, whereas Brian Thomas is your prototypical – he's staying on the outside. He's a boundary guy. He's a deep ball guy. He's a jump ball guy. A.D. Mitchell offers a little bit better route tree. So I don't know. Either way, though, I think – and I haven't really seen a lot of people mock the Cowboys a receiver. But I think it's – honestly, it's listed there as their second biggest need. And they're looking at A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas Jr. I think you have to make this pick.
Yeah, I think it's I'm fine with whatever your preference here. If it's Mitchell –
Let's go Brian Thomas. Let's go Brian Thomas.
All
right. He's the consensus number four. You have a Brandon Cooks and a Jalen Tolbert. I don't know. You know, getting a big body guy I think makes sense for the Cowboys, and Brian Thomas Jr. is really freaking good.
Oh, yeah.
Packers, man.
The floor is yours.
You got a couple trades here. This isn't happening. Amarius Mims shouldn't be here. I still like Kool-Aid McKinstry a ton. Analysis says Dejean McKinstry. We'll drink the Kool-Aid.
Is JPJ an immediate plug-in at center?
So that's a position that I've been hammering with the Packer mocks. I've been hammering that a lot on day three. Because Packers value versatility with their offensive linemen. So there's
you know
a lot.
You know how many sacks JPJ gave up in college?
Is it one?
Yeah, I think it's zero. It's zero.
So I like it a lot. They have Josh Myers under contract for at least one more year. So I have been toying with the idea is if they take JPJ, they put him at center this year, and they say, Myers, here's your audition. If you want to be with the Packers for the years to come, you're going to play right guard for us. I'm open to that. I'm very open to that. I don't know if you blow a first round pick on a center, you know, that doesn't seem like something Gutekunst will do. I think he looks at edge, corner as being like, those are the positions that you want to lock.
You just spend your first round picks at the premium positions and hope you eventually hit the guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I mean, Kool-Aid's he's an NFL ready guy.
Yeah. So
plus you just want to be able to say drink Kool-Aid on Sundays. But, like,
what confidence is there that Jerry Alexander is going to be with the Packers long-term? Eric Stokes hasn't played a lot of games.
Yep.
Keyshawn Nixon is your CB3 in the nickel. Like no, he's your returner. Like,
right. Yeah, I think it's fair.
He could be your future stud cornerback. So I think, and you also have the new offensive coordinator there who is, he's a secondary specialist. Like, he looks at safeties and corners and he has a history with that. So I think that's a huge position of need. Tampa Bay, dude, I have really struggled with this because I don't know what their need is. Offensive line, they got Luke Goedeke and Tristan Wirfs on the tackles. I like that. Cody Mock is there at right guard. They have Robert Hainsey at center. They could use an upgrade at left guard. Okay, cool. Receiver, you know, you're not going to – are you going to plug in someone at the slot? I don't think so. You're not going to take A.D. Mitchell on this team.
Probably not. It's a pretty good offense. I mean
– where are the holes on defense? This defensive line, Logan Hall, Vita Vea, and Kalaja Kansi. Probably the best group of three defensive linemen in the league.
Yep.
Joe Tryon Shayanka at left outside linebacker. Yaya Diaby.
Yaya.
I don't know. So to me, this has been a Chop Robinson special.
All right. I like it.
They've lost a few cornerbacks.
Yeah. Over the years, the secondary looks a little homely. They could probably. You
know, Nate Wiggins, maybe.
Yeah, I think Wiggins or Chop make a ton of sense here. I think offensively they're pretty set. Wiggins and Chop are two. I mean, those are premium positions. I think at the end of the day, it's
been JPJ, Jared Verse, McKinstry, Nate Wiggins, and then there's Chop. So,
yeah,
we'll change it up. Let's do Nate Wiggins.
It makes sense. I mean, it seems like they're trying to figure out the answer. Yeah. You know, you got a bunch of free agents. Maybe you throw in a rookie who can kind of just win it, and then you go from there.
So this Arizona Cardinals pick, this is kind of where I've been liking JPJ.
This is our JPJ spot. I know the Cardinals O-line has been an issue for
Jalte Froholt.
Oh, just
yeah.
That's more of a Viking.
Next question.
It's a character on the Last Kingdom.
Is there any chance the Bills don't take a receiver here?
I mean, the only thought for me is Mims falling super far, but I think it has to be a receiver.
All right, A.D. Mitchell to the Bills. Detroit Lions, man, this is a tough one. I've really struggled with mocking with them what to do. Their offensive line's probably one of, like, if not the best, like, they're top three. Like, their offensive line's great.
I mean, they strike me as a – they're hard to predict because Campbell, like, falls in love with guys and he doesn't give a shit what the charts say. You know, right. He just goes and gets his Jack Campbell and, you know, whatever the, you know, whatever.
So, I don't know. Like, they added to the defensive line here pretty solid. There's no defensive lineman prospects here. You have Aiden Hutchinson as a pass rush specialist. You have maybe some needs at linebacker. They brought in two corners. I could easily see them looking for something like Mike Sain Ristil, he's a bona fide slot corner, but they have that already in Brian Branch. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Who are you thinking?
I mean, I think you just take Amarius Mims, the best player on the board. You're looking at a pretty old Taylor Decker, you know, opposite potentially here, Graham Glasgow, pretty old too. If you just take the best player available, I think we've been talking ourselves into Amarius Mims for the last few picks here. I don't think you can be upset if you landed Mims.
No, I don't think so. I just don't know if he's a Detroit guy.
It's been McKinstry, Newton, JPJ, Chop, Wiggins, Frazier, who's the center. He's the best center available right now.
Why is nobody talking about the Lions needing a wide receiver?
They do. I don't know if you can draft Ladd McConkey to this team while Amon Ra exists.
Yeah. And Troy is kind of
– unless you're giving Keon Coleman, the big-bodied
defense. Man. Knowing Campbell, he probably loves Keon Coleman.
What about Chop Robinson, man?
Yeah, I think Chop makes sense here. Chop was the other name if it's not Mims, but like –
just another tool in the shed.
Yeah. Premium positions, right? I mean, I think that's the end of the day. Like,
he's on the list.
It's either Mims or Chop. I think at this point, Mims probably needs to come off the board.
All right, we'll go Chop here, and then we'll get Mims to the Ravens.
All right.
I'm in. Chop. And did you need to see the Ravens depth chart at all to know they need offensive linemen?
They always need offensive linemen, and they're always taking offensive linemen. They take big bodies in the first round every single pick.
So they've been taking receiver here, Tyler Guyton. Mims is usually gone by now, so I think I'm comfortable with this.
Yeah, I feel good about it.
49ers, I've been...
It's a luxury.
Their offensive line, though...
They're just one of those teams where, like, their offensive line is nobody's, and it's just, like, top five in the league.
John Feliciano, Jake Brendel, Aaron Banks. I think Banks is nice, but look at this right tackle need here. Colton McKivitz.
I mean, we saw when Trent Williams went down how fragile. If Trent goes down, this team is...
I think it's Jordan Morgan for me.
Yeah, you feel good about that?
He's a very good zone grade guy. He can pass block with the best of them. He's a 3-year starter out of Arizona. He is the last of the tackles before there's a dip. Guyton's fine, but I don't really trust Big 12 potential tackles. He's more of a right tackle, a terrible zone grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're looking at the offensive line here, whether it's Morgan or I know Zach Frazier has gotten a lot of buzz to be a late first round pick.
Yeah, centers just aren't.
I think it's Morgan for me.
Yeah, what do you think the 49ers' chances of actually dealing a UConn draft day is?
You think 4%?
You don't think he's gone? And that is where they figured out. It's such a good system. Like, they should just figure it out with him. I'm good with Morgan here. It makes sense.
All right, and we'll make the Chiefs pick, and then if we want to make the Panthers pick, we can do so. But the Chiefs, man, are they taking Ladd McConkey? Are they taking a tackle here? Let's look at their depth chart and try and figure this out.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like before the whole Rashi situation, I thought maybe they wouldn't even be thinking about receiver, but now it's kind of like,
what's a Wanya Morris?
Yeah, Wanya, I don't know. I mean, Johan Taylor is always an interesting player. Draws so many flags.
The Chiefs seem like a round two receiver kind of team, you know?
Yeah. I mean, they just signed, you know, they got Marquise. They got Rushy, assuming he doesn't get thrown in a jail.
He's going to be a 3 or 4 game suspension.
Yeah, he'll be fine. Watson is, you know, we know what he is.
So they lost a cornerback here. I thought they could upgrade it, but reading their beat writer stuff is like, they're fine. Like they don't care. But Karloftis, Mike Dana, I think edge rusher makes sense here, but they missed out on Chop Robinson, a couple other guys. We could see a player that I like for them, whether it's Adisa Isaac, but the guy that I really like for them is kind of farther down the list. Where is he? Where's Darius?
Darius Rucker.
Where is Darius? Why isn't it popping up?
What team?
Darius Robinson, man. Here we go. The edge rusher. He blew up the Senior Bowl. He seems like you can't mess this pick up. He's an outside edge rusher. He does have experience playing inside, too, the last 2 years. His analysis here and his trends – Lion, like he's an end of the first round talent. Like you can see the Lions and the Ravens have been taking him at the end of the first round.
Yeah, he's going to be at the draft too, I believe. He's one of those names that kind of will linger.
And I don't know much about Mike Dana. I'm sure he's fine, but
he's got a family.
Malik Herring, Charles Amenu. I think it's edge.
Yeah, I think Darius makes sense. I think he's, you know, premium position, premium players.
And he's a hometown guy.
So which receiver are we giving Bryce Young?
Leggett,
Mr. Ladd.
So you traded for Deontay. I don't think you go get Ladd.
Yeah.
You have Adam Thielen there for whatever he's worth. You have Troy Franklin, potentially an interesting pick.
Yeah,
signs point to Leggett, dude, pretty badly.
I personally am higher on Troy than Leggett, but I understand if Leggett is the name you like. I think Troy adds the element. I know he had a bad combine, but I think at the end of the day, he still, you know, has deep threat ability, playmaking ability. Deontay's obviously your possession guy. Thielen's obviously your, you know, your prototypical. He'll have a few weeks, but then he's going to disappear because he's over the hump. He doesn't have speed anymore. And Mingo is nobody.
They just got to figure out a role for Mingo. He can be a quality three on a team, but they can't.
I think Deontay's your alpha. I think he's just going to probably soak up 150 targets.
Yeah. So you need a big body outside guy. And I like Franklin on the fit there. To me, it's not McConkey. I struggle to see that.
Yeah, I think I'd agree with you there. I think it's probably Franklin or Leggett. You can make your case for Leggett.
I'm cool with putting in Franklin. The buzz on Leggett today was pretty strong.
Keon Coleman? They already had Kelvin Benjamin.
Man, Leggett's 2023 tape was so good. It was so good. If you didn't tell me he was a fifth-year senior breakout, I would have been like, this guy's really good. Like, I don't get it.
I know COVID has messed a lot of the age data up. He is good.
All right. Panthers are taking a receiver. We're going to go Troy Franklin. If you want to go one more pick here for the Patriots, they just got Drake May. Ladd McConkey, baby.
That's a – it's seamless. It's a seamless pick.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of receivers here early.
So I think we're good, man. We dabbled a little bit here in the second round. The second round is going to be exciting. There's like 18 receivers that have – potential. There's going to be like five running backs on day three.
Will we see a second round running back? Yes or no?
Yes.
Jonathan Brooks or Trey Benson?
It's probably Blake Corum, dude.
Oh, you sick.
It's probably Blake freaking Corum.
No, it's don't say that.
It should be Brooks. It honestly should be Brooks. Cowboys, man, they hold the cards. I think that's where the fun starts. If the Cowboys don't pick Jonathan Brooks, to me that means something's wrong with the knee, and I'm pretty concerned there. But if you're the Cowboys, man, and you bring in Brian Thomas and Jonathan Brooks, like, hell yeah, that's a sweet haul.
That's pretty fun.
That's exciting. So I think we did pretty good.
Brooks becomes a first-round rookie draft candidate.
Let's end this with that. Super flex. I think you can take Marvin Harrison Jr. 1-on-1 if you want. If you need it, and I got Patrick Mahomes, Dak Prescott, Baker Mayfield in a league, and I'm like, I kind of want Marvin Harrison Jr. pretty badly.
Do you simply trade the 101 to the 102?
That's my brother. I don't want any collusion talk. So
how about the 103? You know, your brother won't take Caleb Williams though. So that
I've kind of been buttering Caleb Williams up to him because. So there's potential there, but yeah, dude, if Malik Nabers goes to the Chargers, man, I might be okay going back to three. And
that's true.
Either way, Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, based on your need.
Yep.
I think Jaden Daniels is probably the three. Nabers probably the four. Five. If you're not sold on Drake May, I think you're looking at Odunze or Bowers based on where they go. So we'll do it in tiers, I guess. Marvin and Caleb is the tier one.
Yep.
Tier two is Jaden. Nabers. I'll probably end that tier. And then tier three is going to be your Drake May. Can be your Brock Bowers, your Romo Odunze. So that's the top seven picks. I think there's a legit case that if Brooks is a Cowboy, he's eight.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have a top seven pick, I'm sorry. It's a tough – no, I think JJ. I think JJ belongs in the conversation.
I think eight – I think you want a top – I think you want eight, whether it's McCarthy, Jonathan Brooks with the Cowboys, or like A.D. Mitchell with the Bills, or Brian Thomas Jr. with the Bills. Like, you have so many possibilities at eight. And it might even be top nine, dude. Like, say J.J. McCarthy goes at eight, and you get A.D. Mitchell with Buffalo. Like, that's a pretty valuable number nine pick this year.
Yeah, I mean, J.J. with the Vikings is, like, probably really
– He might if we did Drake May to New England and J.J. McCarthy to the Vikings, McCarthy's going ahead of May in drafts.
I mean, some people probably won't do it because of talent over landing spot, but I will definitely – I mean, I already like J.J. over May, so I think J.J. belongs in that next tier.
But, like
– at eight, in the eighth. Like
Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and T.J. Hockenson with That's, McCarthy, that easily, to me, outweighs Drake May and whoever the hell they take at.
Right. I mean, who's he throwing? Ladd McConkey, baby. So the 9 through 12 then is for sure. I mean, Brooks, assuming he goes, let's just say he goes to Dallas. Brooks is there.
Is there's going to be another running back that pops up in there, whether it's Horum on the Chargers or say Trey Benson goes to.
I mean, Brian Thomas to Buffalo, yeah, obviously.
Something like that. What if Ladd McConkey goes to the Chiefs? You know, all of a sudden he's the number 9 pick.
Adonna Mitchell's in the back end.
So. It's a good year to be in the back end of the first because you're going to
get Bo Nix is nice, probably.
Yeah, in a super flex league, Bo Nix. If Penix ends up with the Raiders, I think that's pretty exciting.
I just feel like that early second round for these running backs is going to be sweet.
You put Jalen Wright on the right team. You put
Trey Benson. Trey Benson's a.
And I don't know where Benson goes.
I don't know, man. He can do it all.
I don't know. It's an exciting group. I really like the top five or so running backs. I think they're all going to be quality RB2s at some point in their career. And honestly, like I'm still nervous about A.D. Mitchell, Brian Thomas Jr., Troy Franklin. Like those guys are so scheme dependent. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like you put Jonathan Brooks on the Cowboys, I'm taking him over those receivers. You put Corum on the Chargers, I'm probably going to have to think about that. Like as much as we don't like his analytics, like that's a home run.
Yeah, it's I mean for 4 years. Once you get to the NFL, it's volume. You know, if you're getting carries, you're producing.
And it's Jim Harbaugh, so like it's just a home run. But super excited. Did you have any final thoughts here before we get out of here tonight?
I mean, I don't think so. We're 2 days away, and I feel like this year more than other years, there's like a lot of unknown, and there's also a lot. It's like very, very, very influential to the dynasty realm and all your dynasty leagues this year, just from a pure early like top end talent perspective. So it's really fun.
I think you have the top quarterbacks at the top of the draft, but then you have these teams that are so freaking desperate. Minnesota coming into this year with no QB besides Sam Darnold, the Broncos, the Raiders. Like you have these teams that are like they're gonna be desperate and they're gonna want their guy. You also have I don't know. A lot of offensive linemen are going to improve some teams. You also have this – teams are going to get steals on these running backs, and draft capital is going to – Marshawn Lloyd goes to the right team. We're going to be – if he's a Cowboy, like, holy shit. Like, he's probably, like, RB2, like, something like that. So there's going to be a lot of flipping and flopping at the running back spot. And then, just don't be afraid to take Brock Bowers wherever he goes. He's really good.
Yeah, I mean, talent-wise, he's
– he's the best.
Is he the best tight end prospect? Like he's better than Kyle Pitts from a prospect standpoint, right? Would you say that? Like,
he's the best of ever. All three of his college seasons were in the top four of the ones that I graded, and Kyle Pitts was the other one. So like he's more consistent. He's shown us more, and he's going to get that top draft capital. And if it's the Bengals, look out, like. If he goes to the Bengals, he might be taking him over Romo Dunze. We don't know.
Yeah, for sure. I think he goes top. I think he ends up going top 12-ish. Someone's going to grab that guy.
We have a couple wrinkles here, too. Does T. Higgins get moved? Does Brandon Ayuk get moved? You have the Carolina Panthers, man. They could easily send 33 and some change to get Ayuk, T. Higgins. And that would be huge. For them. So you're going to probably see some fun trade like that go down. I think that's probably the biggest names that can be traded on that night, but I'm just excited, dude. We're going to have a lot of fun. And thank you. If you're still here watching, thank you guys. We're going on an hour and 30. So Jesse, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Thank you for watching. Enjoy the draft, guys. We'll have some more content after the draft, but thank you for watching. We'll see you next time. Peace. Mm-hmm.